Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here at Guitar Nerds, we're big fans of iZotope software and their impressive range of plugins. And you, dear listener, get 10% off all iZotope plugins at iZotope.com with discount code NERDS10. Every Guitar Nerds podcast for well over 5 of its 10 years has been edited, polished, and repaired using iZotope's wonderful range of tools. From their Nectar suite to EQ, compress, and lightly add reverb to give the impression that Matt and I are in the same room, to the RX repair suite to deal with pops, clicks, and background noise. In fact, every sound sample that you hear on our podcast is mastered using iZotope's Ozone Mastering Suite, and I can even compare audio EQ and levels to other similar released material using iZotope's Tonal Recall. It's all very good, and believe it or not, there are a bunch of free plugins that you can try. A vinyl simulator for added character, the Ozone Imager for help visualizing your stereo mix, and a vocal doubler for added richness and depth to your vocals. Pretty neat. Check it all out at iZotope.com.
The other day, Matt, I was trying to think of my favorite thing about Switzerland, and I couldn't decide, but their flag is a big plus. Boom! Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe. I wanted to do that in a Swiss accent, but then I quickly realised that a Swiss accent in my head sounded like a German accent, nice. And then realised that actually they do speak some German, but also French and Italian because they're
speak
a
everything.
Weird. Yeah, they do actually. They do speak a lot of different languages.
Yeah. Well, my sister used to live there and work there, and she and her boyfriend had to be fluent in like 3 languages to do their job, just because you've got to be able to deal with every situation.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I remember one of the most confusing scenarios ever for me in terms of language was when me and Amy went to a French restaurant in Berlin, right. And was greeted in, I think we were greeted in like, so we were, yeah, in Berlin, went into a French restaurant, but got greeted in German.
Right. Well, it's still Germany.
And then the waiter then spoke like English. We were like, where are we? What language are we supposed to talk? Are we supposed to say bonjour, merci, guten tag? I don't know. So that's why you take the British approach, which is louder and slower.
Just louder and slower. Yeah. I really enjoy in France attempting real pidgin French, like French, but with a Cockney accent, some real sort of Del Boy style French. I find that's the best route for getting what you want.
I will.
Ouais, le bouer.
Yeah, merci, Bercoup. I'll try that tomorrow when I'm actually in France.
Yes, of course. You're going to France for work.
I'm going to France for work. I unfortunately don't have time to go to, and I always forget the name, but there's a really good street in Paris that's all guitar shops, a bit like Denmark Street, but loads. But they've got like a metal themed like guitar shop, like an acoustic only guitar shop. They've got La Pedale, which is just does Les Pauls. No, that is literally just a quite a small shop, but it's just glass cabinets of pedals and one demo room. So yeah, some cool stuff. And obviously for us, English, it's not so bad to get there. If you can get to London on the Eurostar, long weekend in Paris, you can do quite a bit of guitar shopping over there. So
yes, it does have and I can't remember the name of it now. It's very annoying, but they have an excellent guitar street in Paris full of shops.
Although actually you would probably have to, it wouldn't be any cheaper because of the amount of import duty you would probably end up paying.
So annoying. I mean, you know, obviously, dear listener and Matt, we've been over the last few weeks, I'm still on the hunt for this all rounder. I'm coming back right now to settling on a telly. I decided, Matt, by the way, I decided that the Music Man was close, but the Sterling wasn't quite premium enough for me. I don't think. Or maybe a man with taste. Yeah, I just needed something a touch more classic. A very lovely guitar. I was very tempted to take advantage of the deal that I think I can't remember who a UK retailer was doing at the time. But I'm still looking, and I found, and we'll talk about these a little bit later. Maybe actually, why talk about them later? Let's talk about them right away. I was introduced, I can't remember who by, a podcast listener. Apologies to you. Please remind me which one of you it was and tell me what an idiot I am for forgetting who you are. But someone the other week introduced me to Kaufmann guitars and the Kaufmann Guitar Store, which is in Holland, a Dutch store. Now, it does a wonderful range of electrics and kind of all the cool, interesting, almost slightly, if you want a Stratatelli or a Les Paul and you don't want to go to Gibson or Fender, they do all of those brands. So they do like Nash, Maybach, which we're big fans of, Eastman, Cream Tea. It looks like they're starting to do those new British
PJD guitars.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever they are called. Yeah, they do a lot of those. A lot of those companies that offer relics on classically inspired shapes, but they also do their own Kaufmann guitars, and they are absolutely fantastic, and the prices are amazing. They do the Kaufmann Cozy, which is their original shape, kind of offset extended horns, a bit Novo-esque.
I was going to say, I guess it's very, very difficult to be very, very original these days without making it super spiky or the oddest of shapes. But very Novo-esque, I think, on that one.
It's kind of the modern classic shape, isn't it? It's the shape that never actually existed in the 50s, but everything now that tries to be 50s goes for this sort of shape.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do those, which are lovely, but they do also make some lovely Strats, lovely Tellies, a lovely Junior that they've got, the single cut Les Paul Junior that they have on their website. That's actually absolutely amazing. A black heavy relic, black plate, P90 single cut Junior.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It's sub 1500 euros, which is an incredible price.
Yeah, they really do a lot of different models under this Kaufman. Yeah. I'm guessing they must have started as a guitar manufacturer and then have just ventured into selling some other brands.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do a huge range of their own guitars.
They do a fantastic range of stuff. And of course, basically, the prices are fantastic. But I know, you know, thanks to Brexit, that I'm going to get hit with a bunch of import trying to get one of these across the border. I don't know. Might look at how cheap flights are to Holland at the moment. See if I can smuggle it back out.
I mean, it's insanely cheap. I was also just reading their story, and they have very... I won't ruin it because it's definitely worth a read, but they have definitely engineered some nice images as part of and background for their... for their story. It looks like a crazy guitar store. It looks like it's in some sort of department store, maybe.
I'm really not sure. KaufmanGuitarStore.com, dear listener, if you want to check them out, or obviously you can find them on any of their social medias. But the guitar there that really stood out to me that I like very, very much is they do a Kaufman 63 Tele in aged blonde. And it's like aged blonde with a sort of lightly parchment guard rosewood neck. Their headstock is great. Their logo's fine. I can take or leave that. It's maybe a little large and small for the headstock, but that's not the end of the world. The relicking, the quality of the lacquer checking, the sort of aging on the back of the neck, on the maple where it's almost grayed down the bulk of the middle of the neck, is very gorgeous. And it's a lovely piece of rosewood on the neck itself. Oh, it's a lovely 63 Tele, €1,318.
Just, I don't understand how people can make it for that money. they really do look good. You could definitely fly there for not a lot of money. So maybe it'd be worth doing. And it looks like, are there any dealers? Just having a look. So mainly dealers in the Netherlands, but Sound Effects in London. Sound Effects isn't in London. What am I talking about? Sound Effects in Lancashire are a dealer. They look like they're the only dealer in the UK. Otherwise, yeah, you've got a few dealers in France and in Germany. Let's have a look, see if our UK friends have got anything in stock.
That would be fantastic.
Do have a Cozy, so that's the offset. They have two of those models, one in an Inca Silver and one in a three-tone Sunburst.
Oh, two colours that I love. But I do want a traditional shape. I don't want the Novo thing. How much is the Cozy?
2749.
So it's got basically the same import that is if I bought it, because the Cozies go for around 2.1 to 2.3 in euros direct.
They've also got, I just talked about Sound Effects here, they have got a limited edition USA Cabronita, which was absolutely cracking guitar in Aztec Gold, $1,399. Wow. That's a great buy and a great guitar. So if you want to buy a new guitar and you want my opinion, go and buy that.
That's not a bad shout. Good all-rounder, the Cabronita. You've got all the best bits of a Telecaster with those lovely sort of Fidelitron Gretsch-style pickups.
Absolutely. They've also... Is there anything else? They've got a 1986 Rickenbacker 366 in white, which looks very cool. If you get your 80s jangle on. And they also have... Let's just quickly scroll through anything else that catches my eye. They have also got an Edwards...
ESP, aren't they?
Yeah, Edwards by ESP, 2005, made in Japan, Les Paul Custom. Didn't you have something similar to that, Joe? Was it a Greco that you had?
Yeah, I had a few Les Paul Customs, because those black Les Paul Customs were really my thing for a while. But yeah, I had some Grecos. I don't think I ever had a Tokai in the Les Paul Custom, but the Greco was my favourite. I think the Burnie ones were supposed to be the best ones. I had an Orville one for a bit as well. But the Greco ones were the most affordable. but they there was something about them. They were almost the most, I don't know, lively. I don't know how to. They were just gorgeous to play. I just thought they were right. Brilliant.
Nice. They also have, if you're feeling particularly flush, a 1964. Fender Strat refin.
Oh yeah, is that the green refin?
No, it's a red one. $14.99. They're asking for that at the moment. A little bit above my budget.
Sorry, $14.99 as in $1,499.
No, as in $14,999. Yeah, they also have an American Standard Strat that's been refinished in peach, which is a rather nice, rather attractive looking pink.
I do like peach. It's something Fender have introduced into their player series recently. They've done some limited edition, I think a Strat and maybe a Tele peach. But it's nice. That. It's not as bold and horrible as that orange that Fender have been releasing things in recently, but it's subtle but gorgeous. It's got the same subtlety of shell pink. It's like pink and peach. It's like these are bad colors. They're like horribly colors, but then giving them that the shell pink, the subtleness, it makes it classy. And the same with the peach. It's like it's a subtle peach. It makes it classy.
Yeah, I would say if you are after a range of great secondhand guitars, Sound Effects seem to have Sound Effects in the UK, that is, seem to have a seriously cool amount of great secondhand guitars. I've got a 2003 made in Japan 33 Epiphone 335.
Wow.
Custom shop Schecter Tele, $15.99. That might be right up your street there, Joe. Top bound, surf green.
Wow.
They've got the classic, Joe, the absolute classic, 1996 Rickenbacker 325 V59 John Lennon, The Onion.
Oh, wow.
The Onion. That thing. We had one of those at GAC once. Just was not a great guitar. Yeah, they've got loads of stuff. Loads of cool stuff. Definitely worth checking out if you're in the UK. Including, they've got a lot of second-hand Rickenbackers, but it says private collection here. No price, but a Rickenbacker 336 in midnight blue with Union Jack pickguard.
That sounds bad. That doesn't sound good.
Cool guitars.
Cool guitars. Yeah. Oh, worth checking out. Indeed. Now, me discovering this Kaufman guitar, this Tele, it kind of got me thinking. I'm really interested in well-priced. Well, just, you know, not when luthiers make a Telecaster for $4,000. That's all, because I can get one from Fender for that. If I'm going to a luthier, I know this sounds terrible, but if I'm going to a luthier for just a Tele or just a P bass or something, then it needs to be. I need to be spending less than I would on a custom shop. That's just how I feel about it. That makes me sound as if I'm. That's terrible of me to say that to luthiers, because they're obviously making a superior product. But for me personally, I would go to Fender Custom Shop if I was going to be spending $4,000. So I'm looking for well-priced, like the Kaufman, Tellies, you know, who's, or just in general, like who's, it doesn't even have to be Custom Shop quality. I'm like, who's making Tellies that isn't Fender? I want to see what options there are out there, especially from luthiers. So dear listeners, make throw some suggestions at me. Little Luthier, companies that I've missed that are making T-style guitars. I want to check them out. Ideally for 2.5 or under. But I want to see, what's out and about there. That would be great.
Places like Birmingham Guitar Show are always good for that, aren't they?
Exactly.
Builder shows, you never know. You should also speak to the what was the name? It will come back to me. But there's definitely a few people I know that are going to be at Birmingham that are going to bring those kind of guitars. So, and the good thing is as well, sometimes you see those sort of guitars on booths that aren't like guitar booths. You know, like pedal companies. They always have
an interesting guitar to demo. Yeah.
I know the name has come back to me. Grey Guitars. Was in, I'd say London. I don't think it was London, but moved to now is based in Cornwall. But they have, what model is it? Do they do a Tele or is it just the Strat one?
I can't remember. Yeah, I always thought Grey Guitars were like just lots and lots of different versions of a Stratocaster.
Maybe you're right. I thought there was a Tele model, but I must... No, there is.
No, they
the
do.
The Admiral is the Tele one.
Right.
Or the T-shape, should we say. Yeah, I, you know, because again, not crazy money. I mean, it just comes down to the spec, I guess, that you want. But the base price is, well, for the Emperor, which is the S style, is 2.9.
Right.
But yeah, maybe something worth checking out. But there's quite a lot of people out there making some cool stuff.
Yes.
So yeah, it'd be interesting to see. If you've got the money, Joe, and you want to splash out, I've just found a second-hand Fender 2020 limited edition Evangelion Asuka Telecaster, which was that crazy neon one with the Lace Sensor pickups.
Oh, God.
That is definitely an all-rounder for you.
Yeah, how much is it going for?
£3,500.
Yeah.
What about LSL guitars?
LSL? I don't know this name.
LSL, they're about $2,500. You can get them in a few places, like Pine Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Range of different styles. You can have humbucker single. They also do some... I think they do some Esquire ones, so they might be one worth checking out. But be interesting to see if, I'm sure the listeners will come up with something.
Yeah, throw me suggestions, dear listener. I'm interested to expand my knowledge on Telecasters that aren't Telecasters. So throw me some of those. Speaking of our listeners, Matt, we should talk about the question of the week. There's the question duck there, dear listener. Yes, the question of the week, which is something we're going to deal with over on Patreon after this episode. Matt and I will head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds for an extra episode. We'll be dealing with a couple of questions this week from our listeners that we've plucked from the Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. The first one is from Chris Roaring. He says, "Hello, fellow guitar nerds. This year, I will be moving to a small house. So I'm thinking about how to downsize. I'm currently running a sizable collection of pedals into an RE201, into a hand-built hot-rodded Princeton without the reverb and trem. For my pedal board, I'm thinking about 1-2 drives, fuzzes, trem, a delay, and a reverb. And for the amp, I'm looking into low, about 5-watt combo amps, which can go from clean to low overdrive. What could be a good all-rounder pedal board and amp? All suggestions are welcome." So we're going to be talking about that. And also, if we get time, we'll add on a similar question. Martin Cox has said, "If you, like I currently am," sorry, I said that really badly. "If you, like I currently am, would start your pedal board from scratch, which devices would you pick as the brain control center and why? For the sake of this discussion and my use, I would limit it to a device that also has its own effects. For the times you want an effect, you don't want to have a pedal on your board. So no switches only, but I also need to allow for at least a couple of other pedals to be plumbed in. Amp modeling is a nice backup or expansion option, but it's not a deal maker or breaker." So yeah, okay. some interesting things to talk about. There are multi-effects that you can plumb pedals into. There are a few, obviously, there are some that Matt and I favour, but there'll be good things to talk about. So that's going to be happening after this episode over on our Patreon. Do join us there. Now, before we head on into the news, I wanted to talk a little bit about... I went to Ashdown this week, Matt. Over there.
Doing some work for change.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry,
that's
very harsh, Joe. You're always very busy.
I am, and I was. But yeah, I went over to Ashdown to do this whole photo shoot for all of their...
I'm just photoshopping 4 strings onto everything.
I went over to do like a photo shoot for all of their new 2023 products and things like that, and to have a look at some of the prototypes, the last of the prototype bases that we've got through. Because, and I shared this on our group, we've done this hollow body base, kind of inspired by a sort of Guild Star base meets Hofner Very Thin meets Fender Coronado. It's that sort of thing. So short scale, but like Fender Star headstock.
Cool.
Roasted neck and boards, two mini humbuckers, big 335 body. I was really, really over the moon with it. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And bear in mind, like, you know, these are Chinese built models that we're hoping to sell for, like, you know, £350-400. They're not going to be an awful lot. But two things, my reason for bringing this up. First, we're selling all the prototypes on Reverb. Well, Ashdown are selling all the prototypes on Reverb for like $299 each, which is a very, very good price. So, right dear now. Listener, right now, there's like the Saint, which is their sort of reverend-esque shape, kind of a bit offsetty, a bit sort of Jazzmastery Jaguar bass. PJ pickups in shell pink with a white plate, matching headstock, baked neck, $299. On cool. Reverb right now. It's very good. Very good.
It's very good.
Worth checking out.
I like who took the photo. Was it you, Joe?
Yes, it was me, yeah. Oh, did you find it on Reverb?
I found it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Good old bass. But more importantly than that, I loved the hollow body prototype so much that I went straight onto Reverb and bought a Fender Coronado bass.
Yes, you did, Joe. Yes, you did.
I did. So awesome. So hard to come by. I have it in like Reverb lets me know when stuff comes up. Yeah, so a Coronado 2. These were the old, the Modern Player series back from like 2013, around then. Black plate, short scale, hollow body, bolt-on neck. So you've got like a Fender style neck with a rosewood board, that Coronado headstock, two of those Fidelitron style Gretsch pickups on like a really heavy, because it's got a big old center block in it, weighs a ton.
I don't remember these being ever that popular on... Don't remember ever selling that many of them at all.
Me neither. We're like, you know, they were a bit too weird for me at the time. And so I never bought one when they were out. But two things about that. One, you never see them come up secondhand. This is the first one in ages that I've seen. So whoever's bought all of those Modern Players, they're keeping them. And secondly, I paid more than they were when they were new in the shops.
There's so much of that going on at the moment. There's certain things that I just see and I'm like, this was as much as it was new, especially old stuff. I've just seen secondhand, always worth, you know, looking at what a lot of stores are really driving a secondhand at the moment. So you're getting some pretty cool stuff, especially stuff that maybe me or you would have bought like 15 years ago that now you don't use. And you're, yeah, basically getting the same money, if not more, for it. And I've just seen a Gibson Blues Hawk for $14.99. Now, a friend of mine has a Gibson Blues Hawk.
Wait, and I think he bought the Blues Hawk?
The Blues Hawk is a hollow body. I'm just going to bring it up now. Is it hollow body? No, it's... How do I describe this, Joe? Getting a Les Paul and putting it under a rolling pin.
This is awful.
So you kind of flatten
it out.
It
is available as a hollow body as well.
Yeah, I thought there was. So you've got a mini humbucker in the neck, a single coil in the middle, and then a slanted humbucker in the bridge. Yeah. It's like someone rolled over a Les Paul with a rolling pin, and then it's got a pointy Florentine, just volume tone, and then a Strat style pickup selector. So they did a Nighthawk and a Blues Hawk. And I think, yeah, the Blues Hawk is maybe, I can't remember what the difference was, but they definitely did a hollow body version.
This is a very bad
product. I remember when my friend bought one. He still plays it. In fact, I've been meaning to reach out to him recently because he's just started playing guitar again. And he's like, I've still got that Gibson Blue Talk that you sold me. I sold it to him when I think I sold it to him.
When, some friend you are.
When I worked at GAC, and it could probably do with a setup. Yeah, Gibson made it from 1996 to 2006.
Wow. They got a whole 10 years out of this guitar shape.
And Epiphone reissued it at one point.
It looks like there were signature models with Epiphone as well.
Yeah, weird.
There's a Nancy Wilson signature model.
what a guitar.
It's like Gibson does ESP.
It's funny, we should have mentioned that yesterday when we were talking about the rarities.
Oh yeah, yeah, weird odd Gibsons. But we were talking about odd Gibsons that we liked. This is terrible.
No, this is if you ever listen to this podcast, I'm sorry. I'm sure you love your Blue Talk, but I've just clicking on that. Don't know what brought this up. There's a listing on Reverb here for a Gibson SG90 double from 1988, which is a Gibson SG with a tiny purloined pickguard with a single coil in the neck, which is at a reverse slant, humbucker in the bridge with a Kaler hardtail.
Okay.
And then it's got the split triangle custom inlays, and it's in a metallic turquoise. I just wonder how they came up with this. Oh no, it's a Steinberger Trem. So there we go. 1988 Gibson SG90, yours for £1,100. Are you feeling risky? Maybe not.
At least you can get an okay price there for an American-made thing.
But it was probably £1,100 new. Still worth as much money, yeah. But, you know, definitely noticing that a lot. There's some guitars from 15, 20 years ago that are as much now as they were brand new.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to talk about another cool guitar, actually, that one of our listeners posted. Thomas Adelgren posted about this. Actually, he posted this guitar because he had purchased a KMA Machines Chief Disruptor on my recommendation. The Chief Disruptor is the Big Muff style pedal that KMA do, with like a clean blend, three different voicings, and like a separate mids foot switch, a bunch of other stuff. It's a really great fuzz pedal, dear listener. But he posted about that, and he posted about a cool guitar that he got along with that. He seems really happy with the Chief Disruptor, which I'm chuffed about. And I wanted to mention that over at Christmas, I got a Christmas present from KMA, because Enrico, the guy who owns the company and makes the pedals, what a lovely Christmas gift that him and Bruce put together for me. They made me a custom Chief Disruptor with like Christmas graphics on it that's got my name on it, like as part of the artwork on it. Aww. It says guitar Joe Branton, like number one guitar nerd or something like that on the pedal, and they called it the Festive Disruptor instead of the Chief Disruptor. But I'll post pictures of it, dear listener, because it's great. It's an awesome pedal, and I love the Chief Disruptor anyway. But now I've got one with my name on it, so it's gone straight onto my pedal board. And it's, of course, the clean blend makes it a wonderful fuzz for bass as well, which is very, very useful for me. But yes, Thomas Adelgren posted about a guitar that he purchased, a Duesenberg that has just arrived 18 months after he ordered. Oh, I've not seen this type of Duesenberg before, Matt. Have you?
We, only because I have a crazy memory for these things sometimes, we did actually talk about it, I think, on the podcast.
Right.
A couple of years ago. Maybe it was last year. We are talking about the Duesenberg Senior, which is their kind of Les Paul shaped single pickup. Now, I'm just trying to find out whether the pickup is a humbucker or a single coil, because it looks like a single coil.
It's a crazy shape.
But it's kind of like a gold foil, but obviously there's no gold in it. The Senior, like their Les Paul kind of look-alike, all bound, comes in black or cream. They say clean, versatile, and focused. Clean design, dirty tone. Stripped down, yet surprisingly versatile. So you've actually got a single, they call it the Split King pickup at the bridge, which delivers three different tonal options, which can be selected with the very cool sort of selector switch.
It's like a tap toggle on the lower horn.
Yeah, they basically say it is a true single coil and a true humbucker and a combination of both. But what's quite cool, Joe, which you probably don't realise when you're looking at it, that it is in fact chambered. Fully plecked out of the Duesenberg factory. I think, we have talked about this before, and I think it's one of the coolest guitars that they make. Just because it looks very different. It's got the adjustable tunematic bridge, the fretboards, as I said, fully plecked, comes with a hard case. They actually do it in three colors. They do a metallic green, a black, and a blonde.
Wow.
Very cool guitar, though.
About 2,000 euros, I think these come out at.
Yeah, I found a secondhand one in the UK for $1,699.
Really? What finish?
In black.
Ah, wonderful.
In black. But yeah, an awesome guitar. They actually, this was one of the guitars we talked about before, because they actually do a signature one, Alliance Series Jeff DeRosa signature. And there was a similar model in a different shape, if I remember rightly.
What do you mean similar model with the same pickup, just one pickup?
Yes,
in the bridge?
And I want to say it's called, I'm just waiting for their website. Their website is very slow. If you're
I really
to this
love the idea of a pickup with different voicings on board, rather than having extra pickups and a tone control, doing it very simply with just that kind of a revoicing control. And it sounds like a cool, unique way of keeping things simple, but different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, no, it must have been the model we were talking about before. Yeah, the seniors, definitely the model. I thought they did something similar. But the other guitar that they do, which is very, very cool, which maybe we haven't talked about, maybe we can touch on very quickly, I've just found it. They do a Star Player TV, which is similar, hollow body, but it's got the two Split King pickups in it.
I see.
But one guitar, I think the guitar we may have spoke about before, I'm sure we spoke about this, which is the new model I'm thinking of, which is the Falcon, which is their reverse offset body dual humbucker guitar. Which
Falcon
is very cool.
Spelt weird.
Falcon is spelt weird. Yes, Falcon is spelt F-A-L-K-E-N. Definitely worth checking out. That reminds me of the old Baratcha. The reverse Jazzmaster.
It's very cool.
Shop.
Sort of fat, dumpy reverse Jaguar, but the one I'm looking at, they do it with a tremolo or without. With a Bigsby or without. It looks great, really cool, lovely Gretsch style pickups in there, very cool.
Yeah, I would have to say that actually the senior, probably the best choice you could have made there. If I was going to buy any of them, I would have bought one of them. So
yeah, I find them, they're sometimes a little bit too, almost steampunky for me sometimes. They lean a little bit too hard into the retro for my personal taste. But that senior is absolutely on point. I very much like that guitar.
There's Music Street Guitars in the UK. They have one on Reverb right now for $1,699 in black. Second cheapest one on Reverb. There's actually a Duesenberg Senior in blonde for £1,600 right now. Definitely, if you're wanting to look for a new guitar, I'd say go for that. Great choice.
And of course, I think Thomann do a massive range if you're not in the UK.
They do indeed.
They do a huge range. Anyway, now, Matt, because you've popped a couple of things in the news for us to talk about, so let's do the news. News. Yes, that's right, dear listener. It's time for the news. And Matt Knight, you've got excited about a few things here.
I have.
There's an amplifier stroke effects pedal stroke preamp that you've added from someone. And you got very excited about pickups, which, I'll be honest, the pickup article, I saw it in Premier Guitar or Music Radar and scrolled past it because I was like, yes, whatever. But
yeah, well, actually, and this piece of information came to me via email. Yeah, this, you know, like you say, we would probably normally skip over most pickup stories unless it was something particularly crazy or exciting. And, you know, a pickup is certainly not a pickup. You know, there's lots of variations and we've talked about it lots when we mod guitars. But this one is very special and this one holds a place in my heart, shall we say. So Seymour Duncan make a Billy Gibbons signature pickup in their custom shop called the BG1400, right. Which is a very high output stacked tele pickup. And that pickup specifically came in the Guitar That Got Away, the 2008 or 2009, I can't even remember the year now, Custom Shop Esquire. With the Mike Eldred hot rod wiring and the Billy Gibbons BG1400 in the bridge. By far, in my opinion, the best tele pickup. The problem is in the UK, because they are custom shop, a dealer specifically has to order that pickup and then have it in stock. And most dealers aren't going to order that and just have it sitting around. And I always wanted one, and I just sort of never took the plunge because they're all, as I said, always in the custom shop. However, Seymour Duncan have now announced they have done a non-custom shop version, still built in the US, but it's part of their standard range. The BG1400 is now available for $129.
Well, that's a very reasonable pickup price.
Indeed. So I would say, funny enough, when I was cleaning and setting up my telly recently, I was like, I don't actually know what bridge pickup I put in this. Because I got a Baja and I think I ripped both pickups out, put the TV Jones in the neck, and then was like, oh, I really want one of these Billy Gibbons pickups. Couldn't get one. And put something else in it. Totally forgot what it is. I opened it up really recently, and it's a Seymour Duncan STL1.
Oh, which I think is their, like, I've never even heard of that.
I think it's their just like standard vintage tele pickup.
Right.
I'm just STL1. Yeah, Seymour Duncan STL1 single coil bridge pickup is the correct 1954 Telecaster lead pickup, stronger, clearer, and more defined in treble than its older sibling. So it's an average, okay pickup that's been nice in my guitar. But now that I've
never been, you've never been incredibly excited about it.
Well, I've always thought at some point I would put that Billy Gibbons pickup in. But you know, you've got to buy a custom one and they don't come up very often and you've got to custom order it and they're more expensive. And now the fact that you don't have to do any of that and it's just a standard one, then I think that's some of the best Seymour Duncan news I've heard in a long time.
Well, there you have it, dear listener. If you have a Telecaster and you want to upgrade it, then Matt Knight has no better a suggestion than this Billy Gibbons signature.
Obviously Seymour Duncan make a lot of great pickups, but yeah, certainly my choice for the number one tele pickup if you want a beefy single coil. And I will certainly be ordering one soon.
Very cool indeed. Now, the other piece of news that we wanted to talk about is something from a company that I hadn't come across before. You, Matt, and Blake Weiland from the Tone Mob, you are very familiar with this company, Silk Tone.
Indeed. So we did talk about Silk Tone, I think maybe briefly. I think they probably crossed the news.
Their fuzz pedal.
Was their fuzz pedal, the Silk Tone fuzz. A couple of unique things that you probably may remember if you don't have a computer in front of you and you're Googling along with the podcast, was that on the front you had a bias control with a 3-digit 7-segment display, so you could dial in the exact amount of bias into your two germanium transistor fuzz. The great thing was as well, it also had a built-in pickup simulator. So effectively that meant that always the pickup was affected, or the fuzz pedal was always seeing what it believed to be the direct pickup signal. So unlike other fuzz pedals that are input impedance sensitive, you could run it anywhere in your chain. And then the cleanup control, so you've got volume fuzz and cleanup, allowed you to dial in a certain amount of clean sound, so you didn't have to worry about cleaning it up with your guitar necessarily. So really allowed you to dial that whole kind of vintage fuzz sound in.
Very cool.
But what caught our eye, so they actually make a couple of amps already, sort of great high-end sort of boutique amplifiers around the sort of $2,500 mark.
Combos,
indeed. But what they have just launched is the Micronaut. Now, I like micro amps. I always remember we had a second-hand Matt amp in before, the Mini Matt, of course, Orange Tiny Terror lunchbox amps. We've always been a fan of those, but the Micronaut, something a bit different. So imagine a kind of a tiny little perfectly square box that is not only an amp, Joe, it's also a drive pedal, a preamp, a DI that goes anywhere from clean to dirty. So this is a 4-watt one EL84 output guitar amplifier with a couple of crazy tweaks. So you can plug your guitar straight in, and you've got a couple of simple controls on the front, tone, gain, and then you've also got two different voicings. So you can go from clean to dirty if you really crank it up. But what's different with this is on the back. So on the back, you have a standard speaker output, but you also have a line output. Now, the line output isn't a tap from the speaker output. It's actually taken from a different part of the output. So they say here, it's not taken from the preamp stage or resistively off the speaker tap like other amps. This one has a whole dedicated winding on the output transformer, isolating it from the rest of the signal, and has its own level control. So effectively, you can run into this and out of the line out into your pedal board and use it as a distortion pedal.
Amazing. Amazing. Or, of course, because it will be, because it's doesn't require a load, obviously you can run that straight into a DAW or PA. It actually says that on the back, doesn't it? It says it next to the line out, it's got a little, you know, explanation that says drive another amp or send to a door or PA.
Yeah. So they're saying here, yeah, basically the line out works together with an isolated reactive load. Whether a speaker is plugged in or not, you get the full power drive signal in response to the amp with an all natural EQ peak and no dips, no matter what you plug into. So that's another amp, a pedal chain, a mixer, or a DAW.
I'm
seeing this as, so I've got a 500 rack like preamp, which is great for microphones and stuff, but I'm thinking this is your DI box. This is what you plug everything into before you go into your DAW.
Right.
But yes, what
this almost replaces the outs on your door.
Yeah, I think this is what you would go, this is what you would run your guitar, or I would say maybe even bass into, as you run into your DAW. So they're saying, yeah, you can use it as a DI for a desktop pedal platform, or you can actually then crank it and then run it into your pedal board, into another amp. But they say that you could do something like run a sort of kind of pseudo wet dry setup. So you could run your instrument into the Micronaut, which then feeds a dedicated speaker, and that's your dry sound. And then you can take the line out and then run the line out into all your other pedals into the input of another amp.
Oh,
now that is unique and awesome.
That's very clever.
I just need to buy one. I think this is just, to me, I think this does everything.
Nine,
everything
nine,
that
nine.
I could want. $999 US dollars.
Yes, indeed.
Not available at the moment anywhere in the UK. Not sure about other dealers in Europe. Sweden, these go to 11. Klangfarber in Austria. Vintage Guitar in Oslo. Palf in France.
It's actually another $69 to have the 240 volts that we'd require for this side of the pond. And you can upgrade to a walnut cab for another $200. It comes in a lovely sort of black wood cab, as it is, which I think looks lovely. Cabinet, or rather, I shouldn't say cab.
Yeah, I am super impressed. I think this is a great, great product.
Looks like a Greer Mini Chief, dear listener, if you want.
Of this sort of thing
that it looks like. It's almost a square. Lovely and retro, dead simple, one big knob, one small knob.
Yes. And that's all you need. And that Greer actually is, again, it's a great amp, you know, small output, 3 watts, class A cathode bias, you know, everything for using at home, great for recording. But this special tap on the transformer makes all the difference. I think being able to use that as a drive pedal, but then still run out into a DAW, I think. Yeah, that's super impressive.
For something so simple, it does an awful lot. You've got a lot of options here, and all of them are going to make you sound amazing.
Absolutely. So we will get one.
We'll definitely get one. I'll have a chat with them, and we'll see if we can get one sent over. But what an incredible product. Yeah, anyway, it's time for us. We're going to talk about the topic of the week. Of course, dear listener, if you've not listened to the previous two episodes of season 4 of Guitar Nerds, we've started a new thing called Spin the Wheel, where each week we're going to be spinning a wheel, selecting someone from our top tier of Patreon supporters. And they'll get a goodie bag. And also, we'll ask them what they'd like us to talk about this week. Last week, Chris Franklin won Topic of the Week. Chris, over in Australia. God damn it. So that's a nice expensive postage for me. But no, Chris was lovely. He actually offered to help with the postage. I was like, no, that's not the point. we will pay any amount. This was part of it. I knew when I opened it up globally, it would mean this. So that's totally
fine. I live
on
the moon.
yes. Australia might as well be. It's so far away from here. Anyway, Chris Franklin, he said, this is what he replied to me. He said, as a cover band guitarist who occasionally plays bass in our band, I've been asked to guest in another band on a semi-permanent basis as a bass player. A lot of basses there. his budget is about £800 to £1,000. What's your choice for a rig to cover mostly, I think, 80s Aussie rock classics, most of which I don't know yet.
ACDC's 80s output. Yeah. Men Without Hats, they're Australian, weren't they? Kylie Minogue, yep, all of those, all of the 80s rock classics there.
I mean, Nick Cave is technically Australian, and he's the greatest man who's ever lived.
Yeah, so maybe it's a Kylie Minogue, Nick Cave. In fact, weren't those two, wasn't there something between Kylie Minogue and...
Yeah, they released, they dated for a while, and they had a song together that came out on Murder Ballads.
Interesting.
I can't remember what it's called. Wild Rose. I can't remember the name of the song. It was something like Eliza Day was the name of the song. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But yes, in fact, once when I went to see Nick Cave at some big show a couple of years ago, I think it was the thing in London that Robert Smith from The Cure had curated. He had Nick Cave headline, and Kylie Minogue came out and sung that song with Nick Cave, which was absolutely incredible to see. Wow. You know, this far on from when that Murder Ballads, obviously seminal, amazing Nick Cave record, and he's been so many different things over the years. Sorry, I'm going off on one about Nick Cave and how great he is, but that was good. I'm sure none of those are songs that Chris Franklin, however, is going to have to cover. But let's talk about a bass amp for £800 to £1,000.
Yeah, so I guess he says rig, so we're assuming he means...
Just the amp. He doesn't need the bass. Amp. He's got the bass. He said he plays bass in his bands occasionally, so he's got the bass covered. We assume he's got some pedals covered.
Why don't you start, Joe? Because you might, you might know this area better than me. I mean, I've got a suggestion, but I thought you better come in with a normal suggestion first.
Well, this is, what's this going to be? You suggesting the Boss Katana bass amps and me suggesting Ashdown rigs?
Absolutely. Why the hell not? But then again, in that price range, you know, I think with, before we suggest any models, realistically spending the more top end of that price range will get you probably a better product.
Yeah.
I think in that. So it's definitely, you know, and worth getting something that's versatile and handles a lot of, you know, a lot of different things because, yeah, you might only be occasionally, but doesn't mean you don't want a good sound.
Sure. But, you know, there's also things to consider, I think. As much as I hate to admit it, I guess weight and things like that do often become issues with bass rigs. And I, you know, probably if you're just doing this as a semi-permanent thing, we don't want to be suggesting big, heavy sort of, you know, maybe slightly weight coat portability conscious. I'm sure he doesn't want half his house taken up with a bass rig that, you know, is just his thing he's doing on the side. So you know, I still think a head and cab are a better option than a combo. Whilst, you know, the way things are sort of selling, it looks to be like combos are the new thing for bass. Like Ashdown, you know, I know that one of the most popular things they're selling at the moment, their studio series of bass combos, which is crazy. We know, like, obviously Fender have been really successful with Rumble. You know, Boss have thrown their hat into the ring with the very good Katana bass amps. And these are all combos, which seems mad to me. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm yet to play a gig where someone's turned up with a combo because it's not done. It's not done for bass because no one wants to lug on and off a bass rig. So everyone's still doing head and cab. I don't understand where all these combos are going after their purchase.
People's houses.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. But so if we're talking about head and cab and we're trying to keep it under sort of £800 to £1,000, I mean, if you were a guitarist, then potentially, maybe you could even consider looking for something that could do a bit of both. I mean, that's a long shot, sure, but what about something like a Bassman 50 or a Bassman 100, the old Fender Bassmans that you got? They're not that old. Like, they were made, you know, in the 70s, but they don't go for an awful lot of money. You could pick up the head for sort of £800. Okay, but maybe a cab's going to put you slightly over, but it would definitely be super cool and something that doubles up as a great bass rig. If you wanted to go combo in that, I bet you could find an old Bassman 10, like the 410 combos. There were two channels, 50 watts. Krugbin, I don't know how to pronounce that band's name, but their bass player uses one, and her sound is absolutely fantastic. They're my suggestions for kind of like a retro classic thing.
I think it's difficult, isn't it, because it just depends how much you're playing bass and whether you want super simple. I mean, the problem with going head and cab is you've got to spend less on the head,
right?
I guess, because then you've got to factor in the cost of a cab as well as that. I mean, there's quite a lot of choices out there. I mean, obviously, you know, going for a more modern choice, a lot of people talking about, you know, Aguila, Tonehammer seems to be one that a lot of bass players talk about, 599, 350 watts. It's just then you've got to get a cab, I guess, realistically, haven't you?
Yeah. The great advantage, there is something totally different about the bass amp market to the guitar amp market, in that secondhand stuff is just, the backside's been ripped out of it. Price wise, like, it goes for nothing. So unless you are especially set on a new amp, there is just so much available pre-owned. Like, you know, I appreciate, you know, Australia is a big place and your major cities are all pretty spread out, you know, but and no one ever wants to post an amp. But things like I've spoken about it before, I said it's my favorite amplifier of all time, the Harkey HA 5500. It's a fantastic amplifier. It's very good. Solid state, valve preamp, the ability to blend those two inputs to get a really unique tone. Big, long graphic EQ, but then a separate high and low shelf control as well. So you can, there are just so many options. It does everything. It's a fantastic head. It's super reliable. And you can pick them up in like I'm looking at a combo of the 3500, so the 300 watt version of it. Obviously, 5500 is a 500 watt head. I'm looking at a combo with the 3500, a 410 combo that's on eBay for £180.
Wow.
That is a fully gigging amplifier. And it's not just okay, it's fantastic. And Hartke, just they're kind of out of, you know, no one's thinking about them as a brand at the moment, but that doesn't mean they didn't make absolutely wonderful amplifiers. So I think you can pick up stuff from Hartke at very good prices secondhand if you shop around.
Yeah, I think secondhand is always an option. I mean, I will just be the corporate shill for a second.
No, you should. Matt, you should. The Katana bass is a great combo.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it just, I guess it depends really, isn't it, how much you're going to use it. But I've really enjoyed playing around with it because it's got a lot of features for me as a non-regular bass player and more of a guitarist's bass player. It's super simple to use. I mean, I like the fact that it's class AB rather than class D. So, you know, transitioning from a guitar amp to a bass amp, you know, you've got that kind of same feeling as the more you dig in, the more you get out, rather than that sort of flat class D, I guess you would say. Not to say that it's bad, but you know, it's nice to have something a bit different. Oh, you know, a few different bass amp styles, flat, vintage, modern, but I like having all the effects on there. So actually, if you're doing and depping for a bunch of gigs, and
if you're
that
depping
sort of stuff,
it's a great, you've got, you know, essentially a pedal board built into that amplifier. No one else has done that really for bass.
I think, you know, taking that and then taking the sort of GA foot switch, that could be it. You don't have to take any other pedals. Everything's in there. You've got the line out selection. You know, you could run a multi effects into it and just use it for a power amp if you wanted. You've got balanced out. And if you, you know, get a bit more into it and you want to record at home, you've got line out, recording out over USB. You know, lots of different options to future proof yourself if you end up becoming more of a bass player.
Yeah. Yeah. And what they go for sort of under £500. So you're pocketing a lot.
I think you 325 for the 110B. I think where you lose out basically is just in terms of weight. They're just because it's class AB and it's not a neodymium speaker, not as light as some of the other combos.
No, I know a 110 is small. You're going to be able to do small shows with that. I know it comes through the front of house. I still want something flapping my legs a bit more to compete with the drummer. The larger size isn't a 10 though. What is it? Is it 210, the larger one?
Sorry, say that again.
Is the larger Katana, is it a 210? Because there are two sizes.
So it's a 210 and a 110.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the 210's good. The 210 will do it.
I think if you're gigging more and you're relying solely on amp volume and you're not miking up or anything, or, you know, very basic, then go for the 210. But the balanced line out will give you a decent sound into the PA, and then you've got, you know, a pretty good on stage sound with just a 110 if you need it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And just, you know, as Matt did it, I will too. If you can bear Class D, and I agree, I don't think Class D is as good. Bear in mind, I'm touring Class D with Polymath. I did on the last tour, and it was fine, but, you know, I get snobby about it. The Ashdown Studio combos, they did them in like a black Tolex with like a silver grill, a bit Fendery maybe. You can get like the 15-inch one for like sub £500. Last year, I was like, you know what we should do? We should do them in tweed with a red grill cloth. They will fly out. They didn't fly out. And Ashdown did make a load of them after I suggested them. So, you know, so I don't know how many made it over to Australia, but anyone who wants to pick those up, you'd be doing my reputation a huge favor.
Just going to have to find somebody who wants to buy them all in the back of a lorry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, okay. Well, there you go, Chris. I hope that helps.
Yeah, good luck. Let us know how you get on in the old Facebook group, or drop us an email, or on any of our socials. always good to hear whether our suggestions were totally worthless or made a difference.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. Well, I guess, you know, the time has come, dear Matt, where we are going to have to spin the wheel to decide next week's topic. So I'll spin the wheel, dear listener, whilst you listen to the jingle. There you go, dear listener. And the winner this week is Sean Hughes. We'll be in touch. Sean, you've won yourself a lovely goodie bag. And also, you know, I'll be in touch to ask you what you'd like us to talk about on next week's episode. We're running out of time. Well, we're out of time on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We didn't get to do our show and tell, actually, Matt. So maybe we'll finish on that.
Okay, hit me, Joe. What are you going to show me? Then tell me.
Okay. All right. I tell you what. Yeah. I'm just going to play it, and then I'll do the outro and everything afterwards. We'll do that. We'll do it like that. Here's something I've been working on this week. Yeah.
You're gonna hate me for saying this.
Go on, say it.
But that really sounds like a track that could have been on the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album. Your right. bass playing was very, let's say, modern Flea.
Oh dear.
It was great. No, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. Great guitar sound as well. What were you using? Tell me.
So I will. So for a start, dear listener, I've been listening to a lot of Psychic Temple this week, and they have this whole thing. They've got a two-track album called Plays Planet Caravan, and their whole deal is they're like, when we guitar solo, we don't think about it and we try and zone out and we keep in all the take with all the duff notes. And so I was like trying to do that, like do these weirds, like you're almost supposed to try like you think to sound like you're thinking about it.
Right.
I got really into it. But anyway, so forgive the bad solo, everyone. That's why that was bad. I was trying to neander. Anyway, so that was me getting back out the Emprise Haxby Mini. After I spoke to Philip again from Emprise Amps, he was like, I'll tell you what. He was like, don't worry for not getting this because I haven't put it on the description on the website. It doesn't say it anywhere. But if you pop out, it's a push, a pull out. Thing push toggle push pull on the volume of the lead channel, and that's what jumps the two channels, which gives you just a little bit more oomph.
Very nice.
So I was using just that along with the Ancoats new Islington Rocket guitar from that we spoke about last week. And it's basically that's that whole sound. There's a little bit of reverb that I've added in the DAW afterwards, but other than that, it's just that Haxby Mini is such a great like pedal platform. It is just such a clean amplifier. And again, I recorded it like low volumes, the amp head sitting on my desk. It was, yeah, just the Haxby Mini going into a little Jensen 12-inch speaker mic'd up with the very microphones that we podcast with, Matt, the Lewitt 440 Pures. And that was it, straight into the DAW. You know, I added a little bit of compression on the end. That's it. I've never like touched a guitar signal less than with this amplifier.
I mean, that's testament of the that is testament to the quality of that of those Emprise amps, basically. Yeah. And maybe we'll cover it in a bit more detail, Joe, over on the Patreon, as I feel it may be an answer to Chris Roaring's question.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah, we'll go and do that now. We'll have a little bit of a discussion about all those things over on the Patreon. If you'd like to get in touch with us, dear listener, to ask a question or for any reason at all, if you have a company that you think we should be checking out, or if you are a company or a brand or a luthier, do reach out. We reply to all our emails, you know, so do that. info@guitarnerds.net or DM us on Instagram, ask in the open forum on our Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group. If you're a Patreon supporter, then contact us through Patreon, either by commenting on the episodes or DM us there. We're heading over to Patreon right now, so join us there. Visit patreon.com/guitarnerds for all the info on how to sign up and support our charming community. Thank you for listening. You've been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Bye.
Now, dear wonderful listener, the time has come for me to thank all of our lovely top-tier Patreon backers, you wonderful, wonderful people. So, thank you very much to Scott Guitars, to Suresh, to Dorsonic Pickups, to Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Jorin Brown, John Conaway, the Studio Rats, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Brian Hansen, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einzer, Gavin van der Linden, Mark Hiziao, Tadawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric Fire, Peter Pesce, Andy Manley, Simon Milbourne, Joe Puttick, Blake Wyland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losith, Stephen Burke, Robert Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordwick, and Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravit.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.